I think people are feeling great today, and nothing does that more than sports. And a guy who's been around that his entire life, Sean McDonough of ESPN, on the call of the Royals and Orioles. And Sean, I guess you can attest to that as well, too. Nothing's better than having a winning team in town. It brings everybody together, and you saw it yesterday in Baltimore, 41,000 fans there.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, living in Boston and growing up there and living there my whole life, you know, we've seen a lot of that in recent years. You know, probably never more so, you know, not to take this to a really serious place, but, you know, when we had the Boston Marathon bombing several years ago, you know, the Red Sox wound up shocking the world and winning the World Series later that year and really galvanized the whole city. You know, Boston Strong became, you know, the theme, the motto for the recovery from the marathon bombing. So sports can play a really important role in bringing a community together.
Yeah, no question about it. Sean McDonough, what did you see yesterday from the Royals where you went, wow? Because I'm sure, you know, probably like a lot of people, didn't watch much Royals baseball this year. Now they're in the playoffs, you're calling the games. What jumped out for you where you're like, oh my God, this is awesome?
Well, I think it's more of the same, you know, from why they were successful in the regular season. You know, they built their regular season around outstanding starting pitching, you know, timely hitting, runners with scoring position, getting them around, and manufacturing runs, and playing really good defense. And, you know, they got a terrific start yesterday from Cole Reagan. You know, they got the timely hit. They only had two runners, I think, reach second base. And both times it was Michael Garcia, but it was, you know, a stolen base that got him into scoring position. And then, you know, Bobby Witt, who's the driving force behind the whole thing, you got the key hit to drive in the only run of the game. So I thought yesterday was really kind of a microcosm of their whole season and their formula for winning baseball.
When you look at this Royals team, it seems like, and maybe I'm just, you know, I got Royals bias glasses on, Sean, but it seems like they're not just built for this year. They're possibly built for more than just this turnaround of only winning 56 games to winning 80 plus and being a force in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I think they have a nice nucleus. You know, I do think they really are very dependent on the 2, 3, and 4 hitters in their lineup. You know, Pasquantino had a career year. We know what Bobby Witt is. He's a superstar already, and he's going to be one of the best players in baseball, if not the best, for a long time. You know, he does everything at the highest level, and from everything we're told, he's, you know, a high character person as well. So I think you're going to be very fortunate to be watching him for a long time. But you know, I do think going forward, you know, they're going to need to have a little more depth in that lineup. You know, I think we saw in September in particular when Pasquantino was out of the lineup that they really struggled to hit. So, you know, I think going forward, if they're going to try to make sure they are a playoff team for the next few years, you know, adding some more to that lineup is probably what they're going to have to do.
Sean, I've been kind of saying for the better part of this season, it's not important for the Royals to get into the playoffs. It's important for Bobby Witt to get into the playoffs and be on that national stage. What could a great performance in the postseason do for him from a national perspective?
Yeah, I think it'll elevate his profile. I mean, I think the baseball fans who follow it regularly are certainly well aware of who he is. I mean, I think in almost any other year, he would have been the MVP in the American League. You know, yesterday, Jess Mendoza, I believe, called him the best all-around player in baseball, with the exception of Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani's doing things that have never been done before, but so is Bobby Witt Jr. So, you know, I think most, you know, hardcore baseball fans are very well aware of who he is and where he stands within the game. But I think if they can, you know, move on another round or two or go win the whole thing even, then a lot more people are going to know how great he is.
Welcome to 2024, the sports world of gambling. Now, I know it's interesting for some, but you know, you look at that game yesterday and you know the stat as well as anybody, I'm sure as well, Sean, that 8-0 is the record for teams that win game one in this new advanced wildcard system where it's three games. It doesn't normally go to three games either, but the Royals go in today and they're still underdogs. They're +130 on the money line. Baltimore is -155. Zach Eflin, Seth Lugo. How do you kind of see this game going, similar to yesterday, or is this one of those games where we maybe see a little bit more offense?
Well, I would think we would see more offense just because 1-0 games are very rare. You know, I believe it was the first playoff game the Royals had ever played in that ended 1-0. So I would think we'll see more than one run and more than 10 hits combined. You know, it should be another well-pitched game. You know, Seth Lugo had an excellent year. You know, big part of that success of the starting pitching rotation that we talked about. you know, the Royals get as deep into games as anybody. Reagans did it again yesterday and would have gone deeper had he not had the calf cramp. So I think it's an excellent pitching matchup. You know, I would think that that part of it's pretty even. You know, when you look at the stats, Lugo had a little bit better year, but, you know, he wasn't quite as good in the second half of the season as he was in the first. So I would expect it to be another well-pitched game, but you'd certainly expect more than one run.
Sean, why would you think the Royals were such an underdog in this series? Like, everywhere you look, the odds were against the Royals. Everybody loved Baltimore. And I've been asking everybody that question because I just didn't see why they were such an underdog going into this series.
Well, probably because of the way they finished the season. You know, as you guys know, they had 2 7-game losing streaks from the end of August through the end of the regular season. I think a lot of that was the absence of Pasquantino, but I think there was the perception, you know, that maybe this team, definitely this team, wasn't playing its best baseball at the end of the year, and that, you know, both they and the Detroit Tigers benefited from Minnesota's epic collapse, because, you know, Minnesota was in playoff position for so much of the year and then just completely fell apart at the end. So, and I think that the reverse is true of the Orioles. I think people looking at the Orioles from a distance would say, well, yeah, they scuffled a little bit in the second half. We're basically a 500 team. But, you know, the Orioles had a lot of injuries that were a big part of that, and they got a lot of guys back late in the year, which should help get them back, at least theoretically, to what they were the first half of the year, when basically, from a record standpoint, they were the second-best team in all of baseball behind the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they played a while without Mountcastle, without Westberg, without a couple of other guys who returned late in the year. So they're pretty close to all hands on deck. So I think that would be the explanation. Home field advantage, if that means anything. And the fact the Orioles had a better record in the regular season would probably be all the factors for that.
When you look at this team moving forward, if they were to play the Yankees, is it going to be like something that we're like, maybe if they handle Baltimore in this situation, let's just say they go out there and win today, it's 2-0, it's a wrap, they go into New York, will they bring up the pitching as much as they might not have before when it comes to matchups, including this Yankees lineup that is just deadly from top to bottom?
Yeah, I think it would be an interesting series. I would pay attention to today first. I know,
for sure,
know the numbers say,
for sure,
in this best of three, as you said, you know, the team that wins the first game has won almost every time. But, you know, there's still some work to be done here. I think the Yankees are an excellent team. I do kind of like the starting rotation of the Royals better. Mm-hmm. And, well, if it gets to that point against the Yankees, you know, I think the Yankees definitely have more depth in their lineup, more guys who scare you from top to bottom. But, you know, that would be a fun series. One of the things about the Royals, I didn't know this till I looked at our research notes, but this is only the fourth time in the last 40 years they've been in the postseason, but in the previous three times they've made it to the World Series every time.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, they're the Michael Jordan of baseball, basically.
Although, not that anything that happened in 1985 really has anything to do with today, which is why I sometimes hesitate in passing along those notes. I did have some rare restraint yesterday because of people who believe in the broadcaster jinx.
Oh.
You know, we had a note from our research people that the Royals had never had a shutout pitched by them in a road game in the postseason. This was their 36th road playoff game in their history. And I was going to mention that during the game. I said, nope, because, you know, when one of the Orioles rips one out of the park and there goes the shutout, maybe even the win, you know, here comes the McDonough jinxed it.
So right.
I don't believe in that nonsense at all, but yesterday I decided I wasn't going to say
you're not superstitious. You're just a little stitious.
We're not jinxing the whole thing. The outcome would have been different yesterday if I had said that.
See how you can make a difference, Sean McDonough, in the booth, and you didn't even know.
Believe me, if the announcer jinx was a thing, all these gambling related questions that you're asking me, I would be acting upon those on the ESPN Bet app.
Yeah.
But I don't because we have no control over it.
How dare you? Michael Garcia was kind of an unsung hero yesterday. Who's Sean's unsung hero today in this Royals-Baltimore game?
Well, it could be him again, right? Because, you know, their formula, as we said, especially when you expect it to be a well-pitched game on both sides and don't expect there to be base runners, you know, if he can get on, he can steal a base. You know, and yesterday that was particularly the plan because Corbin Burnes was one of the worst and was the worst in baseball in holding on runners. So as Matt Quatrero said, you know, you can't steal first base. You have to get on first, but and they didn't have many base runners, but he got on twice with a walk, which really turned out to be one of the biggest plays of the game in the sixth inning, and then a single in the ninth inning, and stole second and wound up being stranded. But you know, I think it could be him again. That one of the things that the Royals have is three guys who stole 30 bases, and you know they can take advantage of that to get into scoring position. So, I think he'd be one. I like Tommy Pham in the playoffs. You know, he's a guy with a really good postseason track record, has a knack for coming up with a clutch hit. So if I had to pick somebody else, I'd pick him.
All right, I want to leave you with this. How bad will Brandon Hyde mess up today and cost the Orioles a game like he did yesterday pitching to Bobby Witt?
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, and Jess Mendoza said it. It didn't seem to make much sense. You know, one of the negatives of the stolen base would be, okay, now first base is open, and you can pitch around Witt. And particularly with Pasquantino, you're not having played in more than a month, playing, you know, basically still recovering from a fractured thumb. So, you know, I know it was right against right instead of right against left if Pasquantino gets up there, but he definitely, in my opinion, made a mistake, and it wound up costing him because it was the only run of the game.
No doubt. Well, enjoy the game today, Sean, and if you want to jinx somebody, jinx the Orioles for us.
Yep.
Okay. I'll see what I can do on that, but good to talk to you guys. Enjoy the game. Thanks.